Meeple Might, episode 24, a podcast discusses Western Civ. Welcome to Meeple Might, a podcast about board games past, present, and future, and the stories behind them. In today's episode, we discuss our thoughts on the first half of the T-Series, the Mesoamerican half, or as we're calling it, the Western Hemisphere half of the T-Series from Daniele Tassini, Simone Luciani, and David Turci. I'm Andrew Caprell, and here's my co-host, Josh Knight.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Now, I think last night was the first time I saw you in, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think that's right. Maybe the first time we both played a game in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I definitely have not been active with that. I kind of get it right into the personal stuff. We've been managing a whole host of things, but one thing that's been looming greatly is actually creating a baby registry.
Oh, I thought it was just creating a baby. I was like, whoa. Don't, you know, you talk about that.
Yeah, no, that's already been completed.
It doesn't work like that. You can't make two at the same time.
No, one of us is still creating the first one, but the registry is an absolute nightmare because It's like everything looks cool, or you're like, how complicated can looking for a stroller be? Yeah. In fact, complicated. Yeah. I think at this point I'd rather learn like some of the most complicated games in our hobby than just decide about watching all sorts of stroller videos and all that stuff. So it's been an interesting struggle.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny when you asked me questions about the car seat and stroller, and I was, at first, I don't think I sent anything major. I was like, oh yeah, you know, just this is what we have, and like, I didn't really think about it. And I was like, oh, but actually, here's considerations. Oh, and this, and it just like kept going. It's like, huh, I guess there is a lot to think about for this if you actually take time to think about it.
It's so difficult. And there's a TV show called The League, and there's a guy on there that is called, he's a ranking slave. He always has to go by what's the best thing.
Right?
And Kevin, yep. And that's some of the instances that I'm having now. I'm like, all right, so what's the best stroller? And or like, what's the best car seat? What's the best rocker? Yeah. Like all this kind of stuff. And it's like, some of it just gets to the point is, do we actually need the best?
Right,
or do we need something that's comparable, that's $300 less?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what was somebody I was just reading, Frederick Bachman. It's like it's a real life short story, things I want to tell about my son. And he had a story about that when he's meeting the car seat guy. And like, can you really put a price on safety? And he's like, apparently you can. You told me it's $600. That's what safety costs for my child.
Yeah, it's something else. Yeah. But more importantly, what have you been up to?
Kind of just a little of this and a little of that. Nothing major in the last few weeks. So still going strong with the homeschooling. I don't think we had any get-togethers. We went through a stomach bug this past weekend. So that canceled a couple things. And then we were supposed to have one night on Tuesday, but I think it's one of those things that we had a stomach bug on Sunday and people were like, I don't really want to come over your house, which I don't blame them too much. I was still bummed, but I totally understand not wanting to have to deal with that for 24 to 72 hours, depending on which member of my household you were. So, but yeah, so I mean, I got a lot of reading done because of that. I was telling you about that and kind of tried this whole like, got rid of Instagram on my phone and got rid of Kickstarter. There was some booktuber. They have a cool name for book YouTubers. That she said, like, she accepted that she's going to scroll on her phone. Like, that's just how it's going to be. So, if she got rid of the distractions and just pretty much had Kindle, and then you make it a habit that you just go to Kindle, and then you can put those distractions back on your phone over time. But that way Kindle is like my habit that I just go in and I'm just dead scrolling on things I want to read anyway. So it's not like to feel like a more productive member or anything. I'm reading sci-fi fantasy. It's not like I'm reading anything good for me. I just want to read these things. So yeah, that's been a fun one. Read The Poppy War. It was probably my favorite one I've read in the last couple of weeks. But yeah. Okay.
Well, once you're done reading, you should start watching Moon Knight.
It has the right name. Is this one like the what's his name? I'm forgetting his name. The guy who plays Poe.
Oscar Isaac.
In Star Wars. Yeah.
Yep. As well as in the Dune universe. Yeah. Yeah. We just watched first episode, that's all that's out right now, and it's incredible. It's intriguing. It's not your standard Marvel, hey, let's just appease to the crowd so far. This is more of an intellectual series thus far. I find it thrilling. I like him as an actor. That does help. But at the same time, there's something to this. This thing, hopefully, if done right, will be super cool.
Cool. I know it's part of the Marvel universe, but is it not like, if I have zero knowledge of the Marvel universe since the first Avengers movie, for example, saying if that was my situation.
Yeah, if that was your situation, it wouldn't matter. Okay. Yeah. This thing, I doubt he'll actually interact with anything during this series.
Yeah.
It's cool. I liked it. But the thing I do like about it is actually talks about Egyptian history. But unfortunately, we'll have to save that discussion for another episode. So what about history in the Western Hemisphere?
Today we review Tolkien, The Mayan Calendar, Teotihuacan, City of Gods, and Tuantinsuyu, The Inca Empire. In each of these games, you are a chieftain, priest, priestess, or warlord of either the Mayan, pre-Aztec, or Incan civilization, pending the game. You manage a workforce and resources to develop technologies, honor the gods, fight neighboring tribes, and build buildings and/or monuments. But most importantly, they all involve an element of feeding your workforce. Which of the Mesoamerican themed games climbs to the top of the Western Hemisphere T-Series Temple Track? Let's find out.
Well, what we decided to do was give a broad overview of each of these three games. So, first off, we're going to start with Tolkien, the Mayan Calendar, which in this game, there are these gears which represent the passage of time. You will place a worker on a slot, and as time passes, you decide when to retrieve the worker to gain the action. Thus, the longer you leave the worker, the stronger the action. There are various gears corresponding to actions like resource production, as well as monument and building constructions, and worship with these cool crystal skulls. Love the use of dummy workers and for a lower player count. And like Andrew said, this one has Nicole's favorite mechanism of feeding your workers. As for Teotihuacan, this one is actually a rondel-type game where you move your workers, aka dice, clockwise along a board where you build a pyramid, decorate said pyramid, discover advanced technologies, and build, yep, you guessed it, buildings. And yes, Andrew, Nicole's favorite mechanism of feeding people is here too.
But this time they eat chocolate.
They do eat chocolate, which they're much smarter in this one than eating corn. I love corn, but I prefer chocolate better. And for the little bit longer overview for Tuantinsuyu, since this is a game we actually have never mentioned on this podcast. Oh, we did do a banter section of it, never mind. But anyways, this one is also a worker placement game where you have two options. Place a worker on a spot utilizing a god card, or take some combination of secondary actions. If you want to place a worker, you will have to match a god card with the spot on the board and reap the adjacent actions. There can be costs associated with placement and variable number of actions taken, which is beyond the scope of this overview. So what are some of those actions examples? Well, you can do resource production, tapestry weaving, building construction, stair construction. All right, well, let's say you wanted to do a secondary action instead. You can move your high priest about the board and take an action based on its final location. You can also gain more god cards, workers, or soldiers. Just note you only get two of those four secondary actions. Play will continue until a festival is triggered, where some points are handed out based on the temple track position, conquest, and tapestry weavings. Continue for more than two more festivals are completed, and then the end of the game is triggered. Good score appears to be around 120, unless your name is Josh playing a four-player game, then your goal should be 50 points.
All right. After the rules overviews, we'll go to some first impressions and aesthetics. And so I kind of liked the idea of comparing these three games across each category. That way we can kind of see in detail down at the nitty-gritty microscopic level how how comparable they are, where their strong and weak suits are. So, I mean, my first impressions came across multiple different time zones, so it's kind of hard for me to compare first impressions, so I'm mostly just going to focus on aesthetics here. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think Sulcan, for me, wins this one by far. It has the most vibrant colors. I don't know how much that, like, the color scheme was in 2012, so I think there was less colorblind friendliness being involved in decision making, so I don't know how vibrant the colors are for you or not, but most importantly it has the gears, which have the coolest toy factor. Probably, I don't know about the coolest in a heavy Euro game, because there's some pretty cool ones now, but at the time was definitely one of the coolest ones.
I think it still is,
and it's just fun having the whole I think there's five different mini gears that all revolve around one central gear that turns the clock, basically, because I think there's, 28 turns or something like that? I don't remember what the number of rounds is. So we're not Tolkien professionals.
Yeah.
But basically, every time a round passes, it turns each gear so that your workers get a little bit stronger in each thing. And so it's fun that that just happens automatically, rather than having to manage it. They all are just out of the box base, just those base cardboard chits with the resources represented on them for the food. Though I think Tawantin Suyu does have the shaped resources for everything. Like, there is wooden corn, wooden potatoes, wooden stone.
I think Zulkin might have had, in the base box, might have actually had shaped corn. I don't know. I immediately upgraded mine, but I'm pretty sure it might have had it out of the box.
All right.
But
I can check while you're giving your thoughts.
Yeah,
Oh, crystal skulls, though. The crystal skulls are pretty cool.
That's pretty clutch. Yeah, totally agree. Of the three, I'd give the advantage to Zulkin for those gears and those gears alone. I think it's a gimmick when you first look at it and you think, oh, this is just going to be just that, a gimmick. And yet it's not. It's super cool. It's highly thematic. It's a good way of showing the passage of time through the calendar feature, right? I thought that was fantastic. Teo has the really cool pyramid blocks, which is neat. I think that has like a little, it's a toy element, right? That's what I'm kind of getting at. Tawantin Suyu has cardboard and those little wooden resources. So there's no toy factor. There's no imagination there. It's just a boring Euro. Although you're right. The board, though, probably is, I think it's the most colorful of the three. Zulkin's close there too. But yeah, I think the other thing I would say for Tawantin Suyu is I was personally hyped for this because I do love all of these T-Series games, and it was David Turchi going out on his own and designing one of these. And this one just, I felt like maybe my hype was too much for it. So that would be my first impression, which goes into the rules. So for all of them, these are pretty heavier rules teach and kind of rules knowledge. Now, what we learned last night, Zulkin, was we just kind of did a little brief overview of it. Those rules are a little more tight to say versus Teotihuacan and Tawantin Suyu are a little denser, but they're not terrible, but sometimes they can be difficult to follow at times is what I would say. And part of it was, at least for Tawantin Suyu, there's not that many good rules teach videos out there. So it's kind of a, you don't have a wealth of learning this game from like different voices or different rule books or interpretations, whatever you want to call it, than say Zulkin, which was, like you said, one of the earlier ones.
Yeah, and I think for me, Zulkin wins here, but I think that's because, again, a function of time. Just as things progress, like in order to differentiate your games, a lot more of these games are just having like, oh, we need to tweak this and tweak this, which involves adding a rule here, adding a rule there, add this mechanism, which then makes us make five more rules. And so I think it's just kind of the nature of the beast for the most part that Tolkien, and because of the gears, is less fiddly. You don't need to remember to do all of these things when the end of a round comes or something like that.
True.
But that's kind of a little bit more into mechanisms. But yeah, I think for remembering rules, we all did, I think, I don't know if you did any prep. We did zero prep yesterday. And I think the only thing we needed, we had a few lookups here and there, but the game was not that disrupted ever. And it was a less than 2 hour play.
Yeah. And I think the last time we played was probably, I don't know, 8 months ago, give or take. So yeah, I think that's a huge plus. Well, what about theme and setting? Who gets the advantage there?
I think this one's close. So for me, I think this one I might give the edge to Teotihuacan. I'm having such a hard time pronouncing this today.
You can also just call
it
Teo.
Teo. I will say that because I can always remember that. No, I will call it City of Gods because that's what nobody calls it.
Yeah, that's accurate.
So I think Teo gets the edge for me here. And I think that's because of the breadth of the expansions. I don't know if that's accurate because I was immediately out to talk about the masks, and the masks don't feel super thematic. I don't know why.
Here, just collect some masks.
Just collect some masks and get a bunch of points. I think the war element in Teo and actually building the pyramid up, and which you are physically doing, like you're going around collecting stone at the
quarry.
Words are coming to me great today. Yeah, quarry. And then bringing it back to the temple and building it up, and you are physically putting that on top, and you're building stairs on top. So that physical connection to the theme happens a little bit more. Zulkin, I don't know. I think Zulkin might be the least thematic for me here. Hmm. I don't know. It's all really tight. I think I can stretch the theme in any of them. So I think Tawan Tinsuyu having each of those five different colors represent a different type of worker, and that worker has a little bit of an edge to each worker type. So like warriors capture a worker and bring them back so that you can use them later. Couriers get a discount for traveling further because they're so good at traveling, right? So I think there are bits that are thematic in each one, but it's really hard to for me to parse out a clear winner. I think I'd just on intuition give a slight edge to Teo.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're all equivalent. I go with you. So all of them have some type of, here, collect resource production in order to make buildings. What do you need to make buildings? Stone and wood. Yep, that makes sense. Or some combination of that. Oh, you need decorations, or you need a monument. What do you use that for? What are those? Those are flashy. You need a lot of gold for that.
Yeah.
And each of them has a way of integrating that really well. And each of them has a little bit different. Some of them using those gimmicks of the wheels, the pyramid tiles, or the gimmick of the worker colors that being meaningful. So I think all that's, they make it as thematic, and I think it's all equivalent, believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that Teo has the, you know, your workers get a little bit better as they get older or like more experienced. And so they upgrade and you turn the die to a higher value, and higher values get you more resources generally. Or Zulkin, that worker just sits there and spends more time doing it, so they bring back more stuff.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to gameplay and mechanisms, each of them has a worker placement, but they also throw in a few other things. There's some form of set collection with Teotihuacan, as well as Tuanzin and Suyu, but some of the other unique things, so there's a rondel mechanism in Teo, as well as Tuanzin and Suyu, so similarities there. The one thing I would highlight for myself is looking at Tuanzin and Suyu, you already mentioned the meeple color, how... Yeah. Each different meeple can give you a different kind of attribute, unique thing for it. I thought that was super cool. But one of the negatives, and this actually goes into the worker placement, was the use of the god cards in order to place said meeple out on the board. It was just too fiddly at that point. So that was one of those that it was sort of a win-lose. I love the different meeple colors, just didn't like utilizing the god cards for it, at least to my liking.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I think in defense of the god cards, what I like about them is that it restricts your decision making so that you're not sitting there thinking about every single possible worker placement that you could go to. And I mean, there's definitely another place or another way you could restrict that if you wanted to design it. There's other ways you could say it has to go in the same color, you have to go in the same column as your priests or priestess, and there's no way around that. I personally liked the god cards, though I know that it also can restrict you and feel over restrictive, as in like I need this certain type and it is not coming out.
And
I don't remember if that happened in our particular game. I know that Veronica and I were able to just kind of like farm the same two or three cards over and over and over, which is what we did. And then mechanisms, just to touch on Teo and Tolkien a little bit. I think Tolkien is a pretty much straightforward place a worker or unplace a worker.
Yep.
When you place them, you don't take anything. You're just setting them down. When you unplace them, that's when you get the resource. So this is... since been done in things like Raiders of the North Sea, but although that kind of, when you place them, you also get things, so it's not really the same thing.
And you get a worker back.
I really like Tolkien's mechanism because it's so simple, mm-hmm. but can still cause you to have to think a lot. What's the term for that? Low
min max,
where it's very simple but high complexity to depth ratio or whatever. Yeah,
there you go.
Whereas in Teo, I like all the individual things that you are doing. Like I like having to do that pattern recognition on mm-hmm. the building up the tower. Pyramid. So I like having to manage your workers only move three, and you need to plan the rondelle appropriately, and you need to plan it at the right time when your workers are at the right level to get the right amount of resources. And so this is where I think I disagree with you. For Teo, I prefer to play it at a higher player count because I like the movement of all the dice. I like all the dice moving around, not sitting still with a dummy player. So this is the only of the three, Teo is the one that I would generally say I would like to play at a higher player count. The other two I think have been fine at two to four. Actually, caveat, I've never played Tolkien at four in person. I've played it online at four.
But. Yeah, I think for me, mechanism actually goes to Tolkien on this.
Yes.
Just because, again, we'll talk about it here in a second with flow, but it's the ease of play. Because sitting there, you're not taking forever to decide your turn because there's not a trillion different options. You've got two. And while I did say with Tuanzin Suyu, you only had two options, each of those options is so demanding of you that it's not just as simple as putting something down. And we'll get into the replayability a little bit later as well. But so feeding into that flow, like I just alluded to, the flow of Tuanzin Suyu is arduously slow at a higher player count. It gets to the point that I need that space right there, and that's all I can do. And as soon as that gets taken, you're like, well, darn, I guess I have to do a secondary action in it. It changes everything. And you only get that as soon as the person in front of you finishes. So you were planning, you're like, all right, so if everything lines up, I'm going to take that spot. And of course, something gets ruined and you're like, well, fudge, I'm stuck. Versus Zulkin, like last night, it felt like there wasn't too many times where, crap, I can't do anything, or I guess I'll do this, or I guess I'll do that. And it wasn't like a analysis paralysis while you were making those decisions.
Yeah, and even if somebody does take your spot, there's not... I mean, Korn usually restricts you enough that there's only so many other spaces that are even available to you.
Yeah. So you're like, I guess I can't put another worker out. I'll say the worker for the next turn because I'll put that worker out, or I'll retrieve my workers. Like, it's a very easy concept.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think as I have said and you've said for most of the categories, I think Tolkien gets the advantage for me here. And I think I agree with you that Tawantin Suyu probably is at the bottom of flow, because of the three, it definitely does have the most likely chance of somebody else completely botching your turn.
Yep.
That can happen in Teo at high player count. Have you played Teo multiplayer, or have you only played that one solo?
Only solo.
Okay, yeah. So I've never played that solo, so I don't know. Tawantin Suyu, I've played 2 through 4. I don't know. I didn't find that happens to me too often, but I think in theory Tawantin Suyu is less tactical and the most strategic of them. So that's why I say it can be very AP inducing. And I think Tawantin Suyu kind of has, so I think of this as the Yamatai and Five Tribes scale, for those familiar with those games, where Five Tribes is you start with, you can do anything, and by the end of the game, you don't have a lot of choices, so that starts off a lot of AP and gets very narrow and less AP. And that's how I think Tawantin Suyu is. It's, you can do almost anything at the beginning of the game. Not almost anything, but... You're thinking about, okay, where should I start my priest? So you think, okay, here's the things I can go down and do. Okay, so I do this. Okay, here's my 8 tiles that I start with. Which one do I want to pick? Or which 5 do I want to pick? Okay, let's see. Where did I put my priest? Okay, how can I do this? So I think there's just a lot of decisions to be made at the beginning of the game. So it can be very hard. It's a game you have to play a few times to make those decisions happen quicker, I think.
That's true.
Okay. So so that's why I think that Tawantin, I agree with you that Tawantin Suyu, the flow is the worst, but I think that can also be curbed by, if it was a game that you played a bunch, then it wouldn't be as bad, but I don't.
That's if you want to play it that much.
Right. Yes.
All right. Well, what about length of game? I think I would assume we're both going to say Zulkin for this.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 2-hour game yesterday, and I think the more you play that game, the faster that game becomes.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's... and that was with 0 or very close to 0 rules prep. So it included rules lookups, including setup lookup, and that was setup and teardown was 2 hours and 10 minutes. So,
yeah.
I mean, that I would... Teo and Tawantin Suyu are both around the same amount of time. Actually, Teo has taken me longer than Tawantin Suyu at the 3 and 4 player counts.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
That might just be because of the group that I play with, but
yeah,
we can get very thinky, so, especially towards the end of the game. That was what I meant to mention for flow, that Teo was the reverse of that. I felt like Teo, you know what to do at the beginning of the game because you don't have a lot of options.
Yeah.
And then it reverses as the game goes on because your decision space opens up.
That is true. Well, for the one thing I'd say for Tawantin Suyu for length of game is that I wish it was 2 festivals instead of the 3, because what I loved about Teo was the fact that with the eclipse phases, they actually get shorter. And it's like you were just mentioned was you have more actions to do, but the actual phases get shorter. So it kind of equivalent. So everything is kind of equal to each other versus this one. You have three long, long festivals. And while maybe your turns are a little bit shorter as the game progresses, it's still, for me, it was way too long. Like at four players, I was dying at the end of that game.
That was the I think that was the fastest game I ever played because you and Nicole, or maybe it's you and Veronica, I don't know, two people bought a worker at the end of every single turn. And I almost never bought a worker because, well, it's because I had red workers that were bringing workers back. But like, you can kind of play with how long you want the game to be.
You're right. Yeah.
By that timing. And so when I played with Brian and James, we would generally not buy a bunch of workers because we were trying to all prolong the game, I think.
Yeah.
So I think it gives you some control over length of game. So if you were dying, you were buying workers, even though you didn't need them, probably.
I was dying because I wanted the game to end sooner rather than later. That's why I was buying.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Which goes into fun. Well, needless to say, obviously, Teo and Zulkin is fun to me, and Twanton Tsuyu is equivalent to Paleo when it comes to fun.
Oh my gosh, man, I didn't think it was that bad. Well, I guess I did know because you, spoil it, but yeah.
Yeah, so, the design of it, when you throw everything in the kitchen sink into a game, I don't like that. Even with Teo, I'm going to flat out say some of that expansion content that was thrown in there was too much. I played with all of it turned on except for like one of the modules because there's like, what do you think, 8 or 9 different modules with the two expansions? Just roughly.
Yeah, there's three. Oh, the two big expansions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
Adds a lot. I played a couple of games with all but one of the modules turned on, and I would still rather play that arduous kitchen sink process than Twanton Tsuyu with just this base game. No. Twanton Tsuyu, not fun. The other two definitely are fun. And the other thing, which I mentioned last night, was these expansions for both Teo as well as Zulkin offered individual player powers.
Yeah.
And why the nod goes to Teo in regards to fun in this regard is the fact that those single player powers are more interesting to me than they are in Zulkin. I haven't found one in that game that I've liked either from my playstyle or just that I liked in general. Yeah. And Teo, I found like, oh, I like this one. Ooh, I like this one. I like this one. And it actually also encouraged me to do another one of those rapid fires that I played 5 games in a row because I kept like, ooh, I like that power. Ooh, I like that guy too. Like I just kept doing that. So I think for me, fun goes towards the Teo in that regard.
Nice. Sorry, I'm trying to look through and see how many modules there are first.
I think it's 9, but I might
be. So I got 4 in the second one, and I just, the other one doesn't say it on the front.
The other one has more than 4. That's why I think it's either 5, maybe it's 9 or 10.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. The only thing I think I want, I think they're all fun. I think Zulkin is the most fun for me, though it's very close. The reason that Zulkin is the most fun for me is that it's the least fiddly. And I mentioned this last night. That there is not a lot of, I did this, so I need to get this, so I need to get this.
Yeah.
And I thought every time I play Teo, I always forget to do something at the end of my turn. Oh, I forgot to grab my cacao, or oh, I forgot to do, because when you build a temple piece, I think for every matching piece you get a certain number of points, right? And then you just get the base points for it being, and then the colors, when you match the colors, get you up the temple track, and then when you get up the temple track you got to get the reward you get for the temple track, which is fine.
You got to move up the pyramid track.
It's all like to make you feel good, right? None of it's bad, but it's all to give you those little dopamine hits, but it is things that I forget. Whereas in Zulkin, there's less of that.
I agree.
So that's why Zulkin gets the nod for me. I haven't played either of them enough to comment on the individual powers being good or bad. I haven't ever felt like I had a bad deal with the Tolkien thing, but I think that could just be different experiences. With dealing to you have gotten the bad statistics and it didn't work out for me yet.
And I think you and I have different play styles.
Yeah.
That's part of it too.
And then, sorry, for To Want and Sue You, I
go ahead and defend it.
Yeah. I enjoyed To Want and Sue You for the same reason with Tolkien, that I don't feel like To Want and Sue You super fiddly. And when we played with you and Veronica, I didn't do any rules prep that day. And I mean, I think it was not as clean for me as it was for Tolkien, as far as remembering how everything goes. Because I had to rehearse with Nicole and remember, I had to reteach it to her and then use that to do my lookups before you guys showed up. But I don't know. When I've played Teo, I've never been able to just go into Teo and not reread. And even the last time I played it, I messed up the whole timing of the end of the game. I still think Teo is more fun than To Want and Sue You, but only just barely for me. I still really like To Want and Sue You, though I know I'm in the minority.
Yeah.
On the BGG people, anyways.
That's definitely true. Well, as this part of our normal segment, I usually highlight the solo. And so to mention solo for To Want and Sue You, the AI is easy to run, as you'd expect for a Dave Turchi design. There was one problem with understanding the rules conquest, or the conquest rules, however you want to say that. But apparently that's been addressed with some updated rules. And specifically staying with that conquest part, I hated it. Absolutely hated it, because the AI can easily achieve these hard to obtain conquest actions, which also gives them a huge boost when it comes to festival time. It's that kind of it's way too powerful overall. I really did not like this as a solo game whatsoever. It was also you can ask Veronica, I can tell you just a handful of games that I've ever had such severe analysis paralysis that I was truly paralyzed. This was one of those games. Something just was not clicking at all.
So I'm just curious, and does, when you have AP, does that bother you? Does it? Okay.
Because I feel it's sort of like when you need to restart your computer, you've got so many different programs running and all this kind of stuff, and the computing power is through the roof. And then all of a sudden it's you need to restart. Yeah. That's how my brain works. And it's only happened a handful of times, and this was one of it. And it's an uncomfortable feeling for me. Yeah.
Because I know some people actually like the AP process of really sitting down and grinding and thinking it all out. But that's why I was curious.
I'm fine with that, but it gets to a point where your wires feel crossed and then it's too far.
Yeah.
And I said, I've played a lot of heavy games and complex things, and it doesn't matter if it's a dungeon crawler or a Euro game. It doesn't matter. This was one of the few times that I've just felt so overwhelmed with the decision process. I just didn't care for it.
So I guess you are... Well, no, we can go ahead and keep going.
Yeah. So replayability. For this one, it's... Teo is going to get the highlight just because it has the solo feature that I want. Tolkien is a close second, and my description for To Want and Sue You is just limited. Had the game been shorter, maybe there was a little bit less mechanisms or different little finicky things in there, absolutely. This would have a higher replayability. And the part that I absolutely hated, while this is something that I would never want to go back to replay it again, is the start player powers. Some of them are overpowered. One of the starting abilities, if you're fortunate enough to get this tile, was you get a free statue. You don't have to pay for it at all.
There's six of those or seven of them. Each, there's one for each god.
Yeah. You and Nicole got those. You and Nicole ran away with that 4-player game.
No, me and Veronica got them. Veronica started one, and I started with two in my hand. I started with one and kept one. But yes, you're right. You're right.
Well, regardless, I felt there was some of the stuff. This was a game, just replayability from that standpoint, was it didn't seem polished enough that I would want to come back to play it again. It needs a lot of buffering. It's sort of like you put a little wax on your car. You got to buff that stuff out. it's still in a prototype form as it stands. And it was one of those reasons that for me, Tuan Tsuyu, limited replayability. The only reason Zulkin is a little more limited is the fact that it doesn't have a solo mode. And that's it.
Yeah, so I think for me, I want to start just base box versions on replayability. In that Zulkin is probably the lowest, I think, on the base box replayability because it is 100% strategic and there is not a lot to, other than your starting resources, there is nothing to change what you do each turn or each game as your strategy.
That's true.
Which level one buildings and monuments come out. But even that, there's, I think, in a five or a four player game, rather, every monument comes out, if I remember correctly, from the base game.
And they're not that dissimilar from one another. And even your starting tiles are not that dissimilar. Like, you're all going to have roughly the same amount of resources.
Yeah. And I think I would give the edge to Teo for replayability. Though it's a similar situation in that there's not that much variable setup. I just think the interaction level is a little bit higher in Teo than it is in the other two.
Yeah.
And so in base box, I'd give the edge to Teo. And then once I add expansions in, for me, Zulkin is the clear winner, but I don't care as much about solo as you do.
Yeah.
And then I just think that adding in, it adds this, I call it seasons. I don't remember if it's called seasons, or like sacrifice of the gods or something, that you have a goal in the second, third, and fourth round of something to do.
Yep.
And you get penalized, like trying to do it during that round hurts you. So you have to plan ahead during the game to get it done.
It's true.
And I really like that, along with the starting powers giving you an edge to do or not do that thing. So that's why Zulkin comes ahead for me. Though, objectively, replayability is probably the highest for Teotihuacan, just because it has 9 modules and you can mix and match however you want. So, subjectively for me, Zulkin's highest on likelihood to play, I guess is how I would say that. But gotcha. I think Teo's highest replayability.
And this is also the caveat, as of this recording in April of 2022, your Tuan Tsuyu does not have an expansion.
Oh, yeah, which I did look up. At least there is a BGG entry. There's not a formal release date or anything for it yet. Yeah,
and it hasn't even been formally announced by Board and Dice.
Oh, I mean, I just figured that would be who put this up here. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything
otherwise. But yeah.
Well, how we do scoring here, El Meeple Knight?
All right. Overall thoughts and score. We do a 5-point categorical scoring system where 1 is not fun. I would pass if asked to play. 2 is game is okay, but not likely to hit the table. 3 is a good game worth playing in the right situation. 4 is a great game, almost always willing to play and need to have access to it. And 5 is an amazing game, among my favorites, must own it. And that's all those mean. They don't mean any math in the middle or anything. You just read that, and that's exactly how you feel about it. No other thoughts.
I mean, that's how I interpret it. That's not how you interpret it sometimes. But
yeah, except to remind myself.
I figured I'm going to give my overview for Tuan Tsuyu, kind of give my thoughts on that, and then I'll give my overall rankings, although at this point it may or may not be pretty obvious how I like these. But even before I do that, I at least want to say, according to Board Game Geek, these are the official rankings. Zulkin comes in at number 48 overall. Teotihuacan is 73 overall. And Tuan Tsuyu is 1070 overall. Now, again, factor that in, as Andrew mentioned earlier, is that Zulkin is the oldest of the game, so it's been around longer, you've gotten more votes, stuff like that. And Tuan Tsuyu is the youngest. But just want to at least get those numbers. So 48, 73, 1070. So have those in the back of your mind. And now for my overall thoughts for Tuan Tsuyu, I actually saw a comment that said that the game feels unique and fresh, but not sure how well balanced it is. And this person that said that, which wasn't me, don't think I submitted this comment.
Was David Turchi.
Yeah. But unfortunately, this is what made me dislike this game in particular. It just wasn't polished enough for my liking. I think even expansion won't interest me in returning to the game. And some of that was because of the hype. I was really excited. T-Series, Dave Turchi. Yeah, you know, it had it all. And it just did not meet that expectation. So it turned out to be a major disappointment for me. Maybe I'll give it another try in a few years. But as of right now, the game felt too flat for me. I'd rather play any of the other games in the T-Series, which we'll also discuss the Eastern Hemisphere a little bit later. But as such, this game is going to come in at a 2. And I know that's going to surprise you, Andrew, that I didn't give it a 1, because you asked if I would play Paleo with some of my favorite content creators like Mike Delisio, Tom Vassell, and Ronnie Smith. For Paleo, I still wouldn't. No way in hell would I ever play that trash. But for this game, I at least might try it. And for my overall everything, it still sticks with Teotihuacan, then Zulkin, and a far distant in the 1070, whatever it is on Board Game Geek, Tuantensuyu. This is a game that's already on the coal pile. It will not be traveling to South Carolina with us.
All right. Well, I mean, we will be both similar and very different.
I never would have guessed that.
And the good news is, I will be keeping Tuantensuyu, just to cut to that chase.
Spoiler.
I'll probably be buying the expansion. So if we're living in the same area when that happens, then you'll have my copy to play if you want.
I would try.
Give it a try.
I would try.
If I'm one of your favorite content creators,
I don't know about that.
1070 at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Mike, our buddy Mike, is up there higher than you. I'm just kidding. Man.
Well, I mean, that's fine. You know, it's one of those like special things. He's the golden egg. You know, you never got to play with him. Whereas I'm just kind of M&Ms. You can have me whenever you want. You just go to the vending machine.
You're trying to fill too many holes here.
Don't melt in the pocket. Anyways. So yeah, I think all three of these games are actually fives for me. I like all of them, and I think I'm splitting hairs as far as the differences in any of these categories. I would gladly sit down and play any of these with anybody. My caveats stand for all of them as far as I would rather play the higher player counts for Teo, though I don't think it's bad at 2, because I did play it at 2. I just like it best with more players. And I think Tuantensuyu and Zulkin stand fine at any player count, 2 through 4. So basically for me, it's just going to be a matter of ranking them all. And I think I'm still going to fall in the line with BGG, that Zulkin is my favorite. And I totally screwed the pooch and forgot to include it in my ranking system for 2021. But yeah, so I think that one's in my top. And then it'd be Teo and then Tuantensuyu. But though to me, Teo and Tuantensuyu are a little bit closer than, just a smidge closer than for you.
Yeah. Yeah, because Teo and Zulkin for me are both fives, and Teo gets the advantage simply because of solo.
Yeah.
But I love Zulkin. That's a fantastic game. And the series is fantastic. So if you want to hear our thoughts about the Eastern Hemisphere or Eastern Empires, or I guess it's not an empire with Trismegistus.
Eastern Hemisphere. Yeah. Just That's it.
Yeah, we'll get there. But that's going to be to come. And yeah, hopefully
Trismegistus, Tekenyu, and Tabanusi, which we don't have a copy yet. So that's why it's waiting.
Yeah, and plus we need to play it quite a few times in order to appreciate it, because we've played these quite a few at this point.
Yeah.
But again, different kind of strategy to the layout today. Hopefully you all liked it. Feel free to reach out to us on the Gmail account as well as Instagram. And we really do appreciate everyone tuning in tonight.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you in a fortnight.
Good night.
And good luck. Thanks for listening to Meeple Might. Today's episode was recorded in Charlottesville, Virginia on April 1st, 2022 and uploaded using Anchor. Our theme music is All Night by Declan DP, provided by Audio Library Plus, which provides free and safe music for content creators. For all the latest from Meeple Night, follow us on Instagram, join our Facebook group, or email us at meeplenightpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks, so until then, dream a little dream of games.